Kick-Ass Vets, sharing tips to help empower you to take control of your career. Hi, everybody. Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in. This is episode 14 of Kick-Ass Vets podcast, Combating Clinic Smokescreens When Asking for a Raise. So this one is a biggie. Asking for a raise can be scary. It can be nerve-wracking. A lot of us, you know, we are not confident people as a group, as vets, and we hate confrontation. And we can be intimidated by our manager and our boss, and we are often too afraid to even ask for a raise. And then sometimes when you finally get up the courage to ask for a raise, you're hit with all of these excuses off the bat about why you can't be given a raise. And a lot of times these responses are not really true reflections of the situation, but are just smoke screens to try to put you off, to make you, you know, not think about it and that sort of thing. And that's what we're really going to address today, are the comments that clinics will make that really mean something else and are just smoke screens to try to get you to not ask for a raise, and how you can respond to these smoke screens so that you can keep the discussion going, so that you can talk about whether or not a raise is appropriate and what's appropriate. So first of all, how do you ask for a pay review? How do you ask for a performance review? We chatted about this in the performance review podcast and blog a little bit, but we'll just touch on it here. You can email or in person talk to your boss and say, hey, I've been assessing my role in my production and I've done some market research, and I realize that the salary that I accepted previously wasn't really appropriate for the work that I'm doing. Can we have a pay review meeting where we can discuss my salary and my role within the clinic? You know, you would use this if you were previously underpaid and you realize that you should be getting more. Say you've had a change of job description. Say all of a sudden you are making rosters and you're training new staff. Then you can email or say to your boss, you know, I've been assessing my role at your clinic, and since I started, my job description has changed and I'm now doing X and Y responsibilities, and this is a different job and it's more demanding for which I was hired. I would like to set up a meeting to reassess my contract and salary so it fits with my current job description. Another situation that you might be in is that you haven't had a performance review or a pay discussion for years and your boss has never brought it up and you're a little bit nervous about doing that. So one thing that you can say, once again, say or email, I've been assessing my role with your clinic, and since I started working here, you know, however many years ago, I haven't received a performance or pay review, and I'd like to have a meeting to discuss my role in the clinic and address my contract and salary so it fits with my role and experience level. The last one is if you're a new grad, say you're 6 months out, you started off needing lots of support, but by 6 months you're completely independent, but you're still kind of on that new grad salary. What you can say or email your boss is, I've been evaluating my progress over the past 6 months, and I'd like to have a meeting to discuss my progress as well as my salary. I progressed quickly, and since I'm now working independently and my skills are drastically improved, I'd like to discuss a pay raise that reflects my current role in the clinic. All of these are just ways to get the conversation going and say, hey, I'd like to have a performance review. Let's sit down and chat. Now let's get into the smoke screens. These are the things that people and clinics will say to try to not give you that raise. The first is if you're chatting with a manager, it's the, I'll have to check with the boss and get back to you. You know, this phrase, it's appropriate. Middle management doesn't have it in their power to just give out raises. They are going to have to check with the boss, and that's fine. But a lot of times this doesn't come with a time frame, and it doesn't come with a description of how much of a raise they're going to ask for. What I would respond to this is that you should ask for an email follow-up from that meeting stating what amount of raise will be requested from your boss, and also in what time frame you are expecting an answer. So for example, if you said, you know, I would like a raise of $20,000, then you would ask for an email saying, I would like an email saying that you have requested the $20,000 raise that I asked for, and I would like to have a response within 2 weeks. in doing this, you're not only holding that middle management accountable for the amount of money that they're going to ask the raise for, they're going to ask your boss for, but also a time frame in which you'll get a reply, because sometimes it's just months and months and they say, oh, well, yeah, no, I haven't gotten back to it, or I'm waiting on a reply. This "I'll get back to you" is the real smokescreen that you need to combat. So getting concrete time frames and then following up is really important. A really common smokescreen that you get is "it's not in the budget." So this is an attempt of the manager, the owner, to take the blame off themselves and play the "oh, there's nothing we can do" card. The reality is, it is your boss's job to run their business and manage their budget. If you're not being paid appropriately for the job that you're doing, then the boss needs to find that room in the budget to pay you and move other things around, or they can find extra room in the budget to pay an agency to find a new vet when you leave to take a job that's going to pay you appropriately. So you can kind of gently remind them of that, but realistically, you need to realize that that is a smokescreen of "we're trying to divert the blame on someone else because they don't want to modify the budget to pay you appropriately." What I would suggest doing in this circumstance is determining what your walkaway point is, the point at which you would leave that job for a different job. And that's going to depend on, you know, how much you like your current employer, what your other options are. You know, all of these are going to help you figure out what that walkaway point is. And then you can just say to your boss, you know, I need this amount of money. So what exactly do you say when your boss says it's not in the budget? I suggest saying something along the lines of, you know, "I understand that you have to manage your budget. However, the salary I've asked for is more than fair and appropriate for the level of work I'm performing. Therefore, I would appreciate if you would reevaluate your budget and get back to me with your best possible offer." If you have a minimum amount, if you have your walkaway point in mind, you can either share that or not share that with your employer. That's up to you in terms of if you want to see kind of what they're going to say. But what you're doing by saying, "I would like for you to reevaluate the budget and get back to me with your best possible offer," you are saying to them, "No, I'm not taking that as an answer. I want to continue this conversation. I want you, and I'm giving you an opportunity and an out to go, quote unquote, reevaluate the budget and come back to the conversation without losing face." And it's just a way to push past that smokescreen of "it's not in the budget." That's what this is all about. Another smokescreen that you're going to get is, "we cannot discuss pay reviews until so-and-so date." So especially with bigger companies, they might say, "oh, we can't discuss it until the financial year," or "we can't discuss it until next quarter," all of those types of things. So, you know, a lot of times there's no real reason why there needs to be a delay in this conversation, especially because a lot of us will be working in a new role and working at, you know, a higher, more demanding position for a long time before asking for the review. And that change in position didn't wait for this magic quarter to roll over or the fiscal year. So a lot of times this comment of, "oh, we have to wait," is really just pushing back that conversation as much as possible, hoping that you just won't get the courage up to ask again. So what do you say if your review had already been pushed back previously and this is a second time that you've already waited for X date and now they're pushing back again? You can say, "I understand that your typical reviews are at X time of year. However, my performance and pay review was delayed and was supposed to be so many months ago. Therefore, I'm already overdue. I request a meeting at your earliest convenience to discuss my salary." If your job description has changed, you can say, "I understand your typical reviews are at X time of year. However, my job description changed so many months ago to include X, Y, and Z, and therefore I request a meeting at your earliest availability to discuss my salary. My job responsibilities didn't wait for X time of year to change, so I think my salary shouldn't wait either." if you've realized that you've been significantly underpaid and you would like a review early, you can say, I understand that your typical reviews are at X time of year. However, I realized that I undervalued myself and it would be unfair to myself to continue working at my current salary. I request a meeting at your earliest availability to discuss my role with your clinic and what an appropriate compensation for that work would be. So what you're doing once again with these comments is saying, I understand that you have this arbitrary value that you've decided in terms of salaries. However, the situation doesn't really apply. And once again, you're just pushing that conversation past that smokescreen to force a reply and force a conversation. Another big one that you get, especially in, you know, clinics that maybe are trying to be a bit more aggressive against their vets, are you haven't been producing as much as expected or as much as the other vets. You know, sometimes this is true. Sometimes you're less efficient and not as valuable. But a lot of times this is a comment that's made with absolutely no justification or evidence to back it up. And it's just thrown out there to try to make you feel bad so that you won't ask for a raise. Also, sometimes when you have situations where you're being paid on commission or paid according to, you know, key performance indicators or those types of things, the system is designed in such a way that you don't have the opportunity to be as financially rewarded. For example, you know, you're put into vaccine consults and the vaccine price is brought down to bring people through the door, and your boss is constantly doing the surgeries, which are priced higher. So your commission looks lower, but you're not getting the surgeries, which are, you know, bigger money makers. So it's a situation where it might be that the system is set up against you. It could be completely arbitrary, or it could be true and you might not be producing as much. And so what I say to these types of comments is ask to see the data. You can say, I hear that you're saying I'm producing less or being less efficient than other staff. However, from my perspective, I'm working just as hard as efficiently. Can you please show me how you've determined that I'm producing less and how these values are obtained? By doing this, you are forcing the argument and forcing them to show you exactly how they're collecting that data, and then you can determine whether or not that's fair. If it's not fair, then you need to talk about that and say, you know, this isn't fair for these reasons. And if you truly are less profitable, then you need to have a conversation about how you can reach your potential and how you can improve your situation so that you can be profitable. Another big one that you're going to hear when you ask for raises is we pay according to blank recommendations. This will change country to country, area to area. In Australia, it's we pay according to modern awards. A lot of times these modern awards or recommended salaries are A, outdated, B, inappropriately low, or C, completely irrelevant given your current situation, depending on, you know, they're big, broad averages that don't take into account clinic working hours, whether or not you're on call, whether or not you're in a desirable location, cost of living. All of these things are not really appropriate for independent salaries. And like I said, a lot of times they're outdated and inappropriately low. So what I would recommend saying to that is, I understand that the fee guides have set a wage. However, the expectations and the demands of the profession have changed, and our compensation should as well. The current market and the wages that can be obtained are more true representation of the value of a vet in today's market. And since I have this experience, I feel that a salary of blank is fair. Basically, you want to make sure that you're saying to them, I understand that what you're saying is fee guide. However, I don't think the fee guide is appropriate for these reasons, and I am worth this much to the clinic. Independent of fee guide, if you are worth more to that clinic, you should be paid more. If you are asking for a review and a raise, they'll already know that you're worth it or not. if you are a new employee, whether you're a new grad or new to a clinic, you can say, I appreciate that and have looked at the fee guide to set your initial offer. However, due to the current market and changing nature of veterinary medicine, the fee guides are somewhat outdated. In terms of the value I can bring to your clinic, I'm worth blank amount. Hire me and let me prove it to you. Show them that you are willing to work for it and willing to prove to them that you're worthy of that value. Another big comment that you're going to hear are sales are down this year. So especially recently, you know, the economy has been a little bit rough. Veterinary medicine is based on independent people's disposable income. So clinic owners are making less money. The reality is when the economy is up and clinics are making more money, you're not necessarily getting a raise or a bonus because the economy is good. It is a business owner's job to weather the storm and the ebbs and flows of the economy. It is not an associate's job to do that. That is the point of being a business owner. You have a risk and a reward of owning a clinic. Also, a lot of clinics will compensate for the economy being down by extending their hours and being open on weekends, holidays, and later in the evening. And vets are just expected to work these extended hours without any compensation for working these less desirable hours. So what ends up happening is the associates end up working those less desirable hours because the business owners often aren't taking those hours themselves. And they're not being paid more for that. They're not being offered a raise because, quote unquote, economy's down. And the clinic is benefiting by still having that same income and not having the downfall of not having as much money in. And then when the clinic improves with the economy, the associate vets aren't being compensated for it either. The reality is, if the economy is down, the vet associate vet should still be paid the same amount. McDonald's workers don't get paid less when the economy is down because less people are buying McDonald's. It doesn't work that way. Associates are paid based on the work they're doing, not on the economy. Business owners succeed or fail, you know, get more or less profit in years that there's a good economy versus a bad economy. That's not on the associates, that's on the business owner. So what do you say? What words do you say to convey that? You can say, I understand that the economy is down, however, I've been working just as much and just as hard. Being an associate vet, I should be paid for my work independent of the economy. I'm happy to work hard with you to figure out ways to help weather this financial storm, but I deserve to be compensated fairly for this work. And what that might mean is that you work less hours for that clinic or you clump your hours so that you're able to pick up extra hours somewhere else instead of having a lower wage. You can have a higher wage but work less hours and then make up your income somewhere else. You know, you need to work with clinic owners and be aware of that, but at the same time, it is not, the economy being down is not an excuse to not pay you appropriately. Another one that we get is, that's too big of a raise all at once. You couldn't get a big jump in a raise. A lot of times when vets finally realize, man, I've been being paid inappropriately for a long time, and they finally realize what they should be paying and ask for a raise, it's a hard pill to swallow to ask for a $20,000 raise for the clinics. So it's that's why it's better to have performance reviews every year and ask for a raise every year so that you're constantly being paid appropriately for your experience and your role in the clinic. It's easier, it's less of a challenge, but if you have changed your role in the job and your job description has changed, or if you previously were being underpaid, then it's important to talk about having a bigger jump in the salary. So what can you say? I appreciate that I'm asking for a large raise. However, I've done the research and giving my current job description and what this job is worth, the salary I'm asking for is fair. So what you're doing is just progressing the conversation. You're saying, I understand that you're saying it's a big jump. I acknowledge it's a big jump. However, based on the economy, based on the research, this is fair. Just keep that conversation flowing. If you've changed your job description, then what you can say is, I appreciate I'm asking for a large jump in salary. However, my job description has drastically changed in blank manner. This means that really I'm not asking for a raise, but a salary that is consistent with the work that I'm now doing in your clinic. Another big one that you hear is, we don't have room in the budget because we bought new equipment this year. So just because a client bought a new puppy, that doesn't mean that it's your responsibility to pay for its vet care because their money was spent on that puppy. Just the same way, if a clinic buys a new toy, even if that means that you get to use it, if they bought a new toy, that's an investment. So if you buy a blood machine, it's an investment that you will sell enough blood work to make that a financially profitable decision for your clinic. And as an associate vet, your job is to recommend blood work appropriately, use that blood machine, and make it profitable. But that clinic buying an investment for their clinic has nothing to do with your salary. That was a business choice that they made as an investment into their business. When you leave that clinic, you don't have a share in that blood machine. So that should have nothing to do with your salary. So what do you say? One thing that you can do, what you can say is, I appreciate that equipment is expensive and I love working in a clinic where keeping up to date and having great equipment is a priority. I do, however, feel that I've done my part by staying up to date and effectively using and billing for this new equipment. I've worked hard and produced financially for the clinic, and I feel I should be rewarded for this effort, independent of the financial investments made by the clinic. Another way you can phrase it is, I love that I get to work in a clinic that has in-house diagnostics and tools, and thank you for that. However, that I feel that my work should be reflective of my financial worth to the clinic and not the clinic's investment. Therefore, I feel that the salary I'm asking for is more than fair. What you're doing by these comments is, once again, just taking that smokescreen, acknowledging it, explaining to them why that isn't really relevant to your situation, and progressing the conversation to continue. I know that's been a long one. However, it's really important to make sure that you have these tools and understand that smokescreens exist. There's a lot of them. And what you want to do is to have a comment and a response so that you can just continue the conversation. You need to walk through that smokescreen and push through that smokescreen to get to the basis of the conversation, which is either you're worth a raise or you're not worth a raise. And you want to get down to those nitty-gritty bits. So, you know, if you feel that you need a raise and you're just getting hit with all of these smoke screens and don't know how to combat them, check out our Kick-Ass Consulting and we can see if we can help you out. Otherwise, hopefully the tips in this podcast, and there's the blog as well where it's all written down, hopefully that'll help you out. And once again, thanks for tuning in, and advocate for yourself. You're the only one that will.